Yes, it's a good day, y'all. It's a good day to be alive. Ain't it? Yes. I can't hear y'all. Hey, when two or three are gathered together, in his name. Woo-wee. What can we do? Yes.
I want to see it.
We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
How I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. I'm surrounded by you.
Now 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration. They agreed, or the people knew right. Congregation.
Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head.
Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly, but Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me, congregation?
You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time." Amen.
And together?
I tell you the truth. Whenever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another glorious day that you opened up our eyes, Father. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and undeserved kindness, Father.
Yes.
Most of all, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, which makes it able for us to come to you at your throne, Father, and ask for anything that's on our mind and from our hearts, Father. We just know that you love us and keep us close to your bosom. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Let the church say,
Amen.
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 I'm her husband.
Grace, I wanna see it again.
your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We wanna see you again, see you again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We wanna see you again, see you again.
Heard, in all that we felt, in all that we've read about. Y'all want to see him? I know I do. Now it's time for our offering.
Good morning. Oh, that was real ugly. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Thank you, class. All right. So, announcements are as follows. Pastor O is preaching today. Monday, Minister Lachelle Anderson's Blog Talk Radio Show, Street Love, on Mondays at 6:30. You can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Christian Resources for more info. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. I don't even know if it's still called Training Day. He's just on Blog Talk Radio. Just listen. Wednesday, 6 p.m., we are back on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, and this is for those who, for whatever reason, couldn't figure out how to work Zoom, even though we've been in a pandemic for 4 years. Okay, so... We are back on Blog Talk Radio, so make sure to call the new number, 515-605-9781, to be able to participate in your in the Bible class on Wednesday at 6 p.m. All right, this week the teacher is Keela. The title of the class is Jairus' Daughter and the Bleeding Woman. So if you need a book, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Friday, 7 o'clock, bring back the family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. April 1st, we have a new Bible class that's happening on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. entitled The Bible, God's Word to Us. The class is taught by Pastor O. It's 5 weeks long. You need a book for the class. The book was written by Pastor O. If you're a member of Run for Christ Ministries, the book is free. If you visit on a regular basis, the book is free. Yesterday was the cutoff. So if you need a book, I guess because we're here on Sunday, see Sheila. Don't tell Pastor nothing. Sheila's here. Let her know. Okay? Now, don't text him after church because you had the opportunity in church to tell Sheila. So if you need a book for the class that begins on April 1st, make sure to tell Sheila before you leave today. All right? Yesterday was the cutoff, but we're here today. So one extra day. All right? So the questions are posted on the church website, rfcm.org. Pastor has already sent us an email with the questions, and they will be on the back table if you're in person on Sundays. All right? Tithes and offerings will be happening. I'm assuming there is altar call that's going to be happening today. Birthdays, Pastor Jonathan was on the 1st, Alana and Amir on the 7th, Daylin was on the 8th, James McClendon was on the 10th, Darius Freeman's birthday is today, and Ayana, and none of Kat's kids are here today. Where the kids are, Kat? Okay, we're going to find some more kids. Okay. All right. So Ayana's birthday is on the 20th. That's on the prayer list about Mackie's mom. Is she on there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay. So your devotional for today, if I can find it. Oh, Lord. Oh, here we go. All right. It's entitled, How to Love God with All of You. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. One way to look at today's verse is to focus on loving God with all your talk, all your feelings, all your thinking, and all your behavior. God shaped you to be primarily a talker, a feeler, a thinker, or a doer. And that kind of ties into what we learned this morning about how to love our neighbor. Amen. That was in Sunday school this morning. Again, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the Bible says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Talkers love God with all their hearts. Feelers love God with their souls. Doers love God with their strength, their bodies. Do you know how you can also love God with your intellect? Thinkers love God with their minds. When you're developing and strengthening your mind, it is an act of worship. Thinkers love Bible study. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, How I love your instruction. It is my meditation all day long. People who are thinkers fall in love with the Bible when they become believers. There is no other book in the world like it. It has the answers to life's questions, including, why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Does my life matter? What's the past? What's the future? And where did I come from? We need thinkers because the world needs consideration. Somebody has to be thinking through complex issues and the implications of what the rest of us are doing. We need people who think through tough problems and then bring solutions to the table. That's why we need scientists, writers, philosophers, and innovators. But thinkers have to be careful to practice humility. The Bible says, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Why? Because God is God and you are not. Humility is a choice. Not once in the Bible are you told to pray for God to humble you. Instead, you are told to humble yourself before the Lord. That's James chapter 4, verse 10. It's a choice. Humility is something you can do to yourself. Nobody else can do it to you. Other people can humiliate you, but they can't make you humble. In essence, humility is total dependence on God. It's not denying your strengths. Instead, it's being honest about your weaknesses. Thinkers also need to be careful to practice what they know. If you know it, then do it. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Whether God has made you to be a talker, a feeler, a thinker, or a doer, you can rely on his word as your manual for life. He created you, and he knows the best way for you to live. That's why he wants you to do things his way. You can trust him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen.
What did you say? All right, it's offering time. Y'all can stand up.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. We should always be thankful of every day that the Lord has made, because they're gifts. Every day that the Lord has granted to us is another opportunity to open up the kingdom for Him. And right now we're gonna do altar call, and we're gonna the prayers for March are Diane Trice, Mackie's mom recovering from stroke, Deaconess Lisa and Robin Thornton, Ed and Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks and family, Keila Freeman and her recovery, Darius Freeman, happy birthday, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, all of the Running for Christ mothers, our college students, of course, the wars in Gaza and Ukraine, the border crisis, and all of our governments. And pray for our school systems as well. Let's pray for all the people that suffer silently, that may not want the spotlight, that may not want the attention, but the Lord still needs to bless them as well. So even though the list is, this isn't a definite list, and so you can add as we pray, as the Lord leads your heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us another day and another time and another opportunity to sit at your feet. Lord, thank you for the atonement piece that you've given to us for us to specifically celebrate this month. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his humility. Thank you for his deity. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for salvation. If it was not for you, Lord, we would all be going to the pits of hell, Lord. And sometimes we take that for granted, so let's not. Lord, let's realize what your offering looks like and what your ultimate sovereignty looks like in a space of sin. Lord, as we continue to walk this walk, thank you in advance for being holy, but allow us to align with your holiness. Allow us to be able to sit with you and stay still when things are just completely upside down. Lord, allow us to be able to sit still when our bodies are completely giving out and doing things that have nothing to do with what we want, Lord. Allow us to sit still when everyone says no but you. Allow us to be able to use your robe as our cloth for our tears. Lord, allow us to be close enough to you so that we only can look at you for our redemption. Right. Allow us not to look to the left or to the right, Lord, but to keep our eyes straight on you. Lord, bless everyone on this list with supernatural strength that only comes from you to be able to deliver them from all of their circumstances, Lord. All right. All of the terminal illnesses, all of the short-term illnesses, all of the things that put us in a space that's not in our right mind, Lord. Father, we come to you with humble hearts so that you can just help us clean us out, Lord. Allow our gates to be shielded and protected, Lord, and allow your provision to show us what it is that we need to say and what not to say, what we need to see and what not to see, Lord. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh in all spaces. Thank you for being Jehovah Shammah and always being there, Lord. Thank you for being omnipresent and omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing, Lord. And thank you for just having your righteous hand over us at all times. Lord, guide us as we continue our walk with you on a daily basis when we're not in this church space, Lord, and allow us to remember that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Allow us to use the Holy Spirit to what he's supposed to be used for in John 14:26, Lord, as a reminder, as a helper, as a comforter, as a keeper, as a help. All right. Remind us this week as we get ready to go into your triumphal entry that we remember exactly what you did just for us and not yourself. Thank you for not saving yourself, Lord. Thank you for putting yourself on the cross. Thank you for putting yourself in the grave. Thank you for ascending back so that all prophecies are fulfilled. Thank you for the continual growth of Running for Christ Ministries, Lord. Thank you for blessing the pastor and his wife with the vision that works up under your alignment. Thank you for everyone that's continuing to grow in here so that we all grow together in unity for you. And bless everyone with everything that they need to continue to do your will. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
Amen.
My bad. I'm sorry.
As we come to you with this song, we have to remember that He is above all. There is no one above Him. He made the heavens and the earth. He made each and every one of us, past, present, and future. We have to remember that His love, His grace, His mercy is why we are here. So above all, He is above all.
Oh,
Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house.
Okay.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118:26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. In this big yet little church, where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are, in this church that is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints, where we come to listen to the undiluted word of God, another spiritual breakfast has been prepared for the nourishment of our inner men. Let's get the meat of this word. It is an all-you-can-eat buffet and an opportunity to get closer to Jesus. If you want to go back for seconds, the message will be available later today on rfcm.org. Today's message is titled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengthens Me. The sermon text is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, and I'll be reading from the NLT version. So turn or click in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, and it goes like this. In my Bible, the title is Paul Boasts About His Sufferings. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Amen.
Amen.
Prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall with a word from the Lord about how we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Okay, yeah.
on the person. Amen. Amen. Well, I mean, mother overall. Petty? Mother Petty? I like the way Crystal said Persia. Amen. That's a Persia. I told Jesus one day, what's he talking about? That's your sister, silly. I'm like, Jesus, call me crazy, not silly. Amen. Manhood up, right? Call me crazy. Wait a minute, that was wrong too. What did brother ask you? I should ask you, right? Amen. I got you that time. You got me this morning. He was telling somebody, you know, it's a whole wrong situation. I'm like, okay. We be getting each other about those last names. Okay. Yeah, all morning. Because he got me good back there. I'm like, okay, Jesus, that was a quick comeback. Yeah, he come back, he stunned me. I was stunned. I couldn't even. And then I get up here. Hey, amen. Praise God. Praise God. But we thank God for Brother Brian, amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks again today because you let us come to church. We come to church, Lord, so that we can do what you said over in Hebrews chapter 10. You told us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the custom of a lot of folks. But Lord, you said that we should continue so we can encourage one another to continue in love and good deeds, recognizing that you are soon to return, as Pastor Jonathan always tell us, time ain't long. And Lord, we know that because we see the signs. So help us to get the work done before you get back, so we can run to you when you call us up and say, come on up. We can come up and say, look, you gave me this much, and I've turned it into this much. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your master's joy. You've been faithful over the few things I gave you to do. And now I'm going to make you master over many things.
All right.
Help us, Lord, to get that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
So to hear your word today.
And bless my heart. So it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be renewed, to change the way I think, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I know y'all know, and y'all know what I'm finna say, right? Y'all know all the chapters up to where we are today, right? Yeah, I know y'all done memorized, especially Crystal. I know she know. Amen. Chapter 1, right? The God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can do what? Comfort those who are in any trouble. Chapter 2, forgiveness for the offender. That means that we, in order for you to forgive a person, that means they need to have done something to be forgiven of. Amen. And we know in chapter 1, the little boy was sleeping with his mother. So they kicked him out of the church. They excommunicated him, not out the body of Christ, but they brought him back in chapter 2. Why? So that the devil might not outwit us, because we are not unaware of what? His schemes. We don't want to put people on the outside so far out they become depressed. Amen. Crazy things begin to happen when that happens. Chapter 3, we looked at the old covenant versus the new covenant. Amen. In chapter 4, we thought about having this treasure that the Lord calls it, and that is the gospel, in these earthen vessels, these bodies of flesh that we have. We keep our eye on the prize, which is heaven. It is not some point in this life. It is heaven. That is the prize. We get little prizes along the way. But the ultimate goal is to reach Revelation chapter 4, where the 24 elders are surrounding God's throne, That is a representation of the church, the body of Christ, and we make it. So it doesn't really matter what happens from here to there. Reese, as long as we keep our eye on the prize, amen, all the stuff, Marcus, that comes up between here and there gets overcome. Why? Because we are more than overcomers through who? Christ Jesus. Amen. Chapter 5, we get new bodies. Mother, I know you was glad. Mother, were you glad to hear? I know I was glad to hear because this one kind of messed up. Amen. We get new person. Were you glad to hear about new bodies, Mother? New bodies. Reese is like, I can't wait to get there. I'm going to run all over here. Reese is going to be running around. Be like, why are you running so much? You didn't know me before I got here. Amen. Terrence going to be like, Terrence going to be big stuff. Amen. They're going to be like, where your wheelchair at? He's like, I left that down there. I'm big stepping up here. So chapter 4:5 reminds us that's what's waiting on us. Another, keep your eye on the prize, right? Because these bodies is something else. But then remember this. All of us going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in his body, whether good or bad. We know the bad stuff don't earn you nothing. We know the bad stuff is a waste of time and mind, right? But everything we did do right, Jesus is going to pay us for it. How awesome is that? He paid the price. Amen. He did all the work. He gave us salvation. But if we tell somebody about Jesus, we get paid for that. If we tell somebody how to live better for Jesus, we get paid for that. If we help somebody like Kat do all the time, in or outside the body of Christ, we get paid for that. We use everything God gave us to get paid for that. God is awesome. Amen. Okay. But he reminds us, okay, we ain't there yet. Right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So we are ministers of reconciliation. Reconciling. God is through us reconciling the world. Amen. Back to himself. We know that Christ paid the price, but we've become ministers of that reconciliation, of what Jesus did on the cross. The gospel, they call it. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. So that's our job every day, to tell somebody about Jesus. I try not to let a day get by without telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. If a good show coming on television and my wife got your phone number, she's going to let you know this show comes on television, amen. That's the way I talk about Jesus. Amen. Amen. My wife's a walking TV guy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
You cuddle.
Oh, yeah, that's dinner. I'm going to have to go out to dinner. I ain't getting none. Praise the Lord. Amen. Chapter 6. We were admonished not to yoke up with people that's not yoked up with Jesus, not to yoke up with teachings that's not from Jesus. Jesus told his disciples to do what? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. You know what they thought, Lisa? Oh, he tripping because we ain't bring no bread for the bologna sandwiches. So he tripping. He was like, are y'all still without understanding? How could you think I was talking about bread for bologna sandwiches? I ain't talking about bread for the bologna sandwiches. Don't you remember when we fed the 5,000, when we fed the 4,000? Did you take a, don't you remember? How could you think I was talking about bologna sandwiches? I am talking about the teaching of people who don't follow me. Teaching can come from the world. Amen. Teaching can come from the devil. And teaching can come from the way we do things. Amen. But the Lord says, my word, stand on the word, dig down deep, find the word, and let that be the standard for you. So we can't become unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. It doesn't say we don't need to be around them, because it's hard to lead somebody to Christ that's already saved. So you need to be around unbelievers. Okay, but you don't need to couple up with unbelievers. Why? Because the minute you do, you're trying to make light and dark happen at the same time. So he says we can't be unevenly yoked together. Amen. Amen. In chapter 7, he talks about their willingness to accept repentance. Amen. They wanted Paul. Remember, Paul had to tell them to kick that boy out of the church. What Paul was saying is, do you love them more than me? Do you love them more than the Lord? Will you accept wrong and not do right? So what Paul was saying is he was glad they were willing to love God more than they loved that boy. But for the good of that boy, they had to excommunicate, then bring him back in whole. Amen? In chapter 8, he talks about not just having the willingness to give. The verse over there that you want to pay attention to is just one verse. First, they gave themselves to who? The Lord. And then they gave themselves to us. That is the way you get good workers in the church. They first have to give themselves to Him. In a marriage, when you get ready to get married, the Bible says, out of reverence for Jesus Christ, submit to one another. That means in your respective position, right? The husband and the wife. Amen? So what he is saying in chapter 8 is that the Macedonians wanted to help out on the collection for the people in Jerusalem, but they was poor. But they put together all their little pennies and turned out they had a lot. So Paul is admonishing the Corinthians to be like them. Don't just say what you're going to do. Do what you say you're going to do. Amen. Be a doer of your own word and not just a talker. Amen. And of course, chapter 9, God tells us if you give a little, you get a little. God says He will increase your store of seed. Why? So you can do more. God says you will be enriched in every way. Why? So on every occasion you can give. He's not just doing it for you. If you have more than what you need, God wants you to use it to bless somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Help a brother and sister out in Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as often as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? Just church folk? No. To all, especially those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So God does not just give to us to be given to us. Amen. Chapter 10, this is how we fight our battles, right? We fight our battles with the word of God. We're not like the world. The world uses worldly ways to fight their battles. They use worldly weapons. But we use weapons that do what? They tear down strongholds. They defeat stupid arguments. Amen? Amen? Stupid arguments. They shut down every pretension that sets itself up against Christ. Amen? Okay. So the word of God is what we use to battle with. We don't fight with people with fisticuffs. We don't fight with people. The Bible says, take the word of God. If you run up on a stronghold, use the word of God to tear it down. What is a stronghold? That's a place where a devil has set up shop. Now, he can set up shop in a place like he did over the Medo-Persian Empire, like he did over, remember Daniel prayed, but his prayer got held up. There was a stronghold there.
Okay.
But Daniel tore that stronghold down. How? He prayed to God. God said yes. And to make that stronghold tear up, he had to send Michael the archangel to get that prayer through. Amen.
Amen.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if the devil still got you getting mad at people, what the Lord is wanting you to see is that you are very spiritually immature. Because no sooner than you cuss this person out, beat their brains out, whatever. Okay, here's another one. Remember Azazel from the Denzel movie? Amen. Every time he killed somebody, Azazel popped over here. Azazel was a demon. But he kept killing people. But Azazel just kept getting more people. This is a Denzel movie. You got to see it. Amen. Amen. So we don't like, see, that's what we do. The devil wants us to fight against each other, thinking we're the problem. No, he's the problem. Because no sooner than you get rid of that person, the devil just jumped to another person and hear that same message again. Amen. So we don't fight our battles the way the world fights their battles. We fight our battles using the word of God. That's what we do to defeat strongholds, tear them down, whether they are placed or in our minds. That's what we do to defeat arguments against God. Amen. We have 7 arguments in our favor, in favor of Jesus being the Christ, that we made from Christian doctrine. The cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, the anthropological argument, and the argument from congruity. Okay, and the argument from existence, meaning there's no such thing as an atheist. Amen. When we listen to people, we hear what they're saying, and we know which argument in favor of the existence of Jesus Christ to use. That's why God wants us to do what? Study to show yourself approved unto God. So that what? You become a workman who don't need to be ashamed, right? But one who can rightly divide the word of truth. Who's a workman that needs to be ashamed? Remember when Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration? And that man brought his boy to Jesus saying, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do nothing.
Oh yeah.
And then the disciples felt shame. Because it was a crowd. Marcus, he didn't just say this in front of these three people. It was a crowd. And the disciples standing there like, dang, Jesus, why are you making us look like this? You could have told us in the back room. What's up? Now all these people think we whack.
Right.
You know? But they came to Jesus later and they asked, why couldn't we cast that devil out? You sent us out on two missions and the demons were subject to us. Why wasn't this one? Watch this. Their motives weren't pure. They got the big head. They got to thinking, I'm a bishop. I can do things. I got 5,000 members. They send me lots of money. Jesus loved me, but can't do nothing. That's why you see a whole lot of folks. I'm not trying to talk about mega churches because Tony Evans got a mega church and the first church that was ever created on earth was a mega church with 3,000 members. So there are some good ones. But I talk to too many people who belong to and they listen to our Bible classes and say they don't get that at their church. I'm like, well, why don't you come over and join our church? No, but they like that. Whatever. Amen. But the people are weak. Yeah, I talk to them all the time. They're weak. They can't even get married. They can't get counseling from their pastor. They can't get any of that. So I end up doing it. Amen? Taking care of people's problems that their pastor should be taking care of. Amen. So we use the word of God. We don't let the devil trick us into fighting people. But we cast that. When Jesus did what? He didn't cast the people out. He cast the demon out. Amen. Yesterday, I had to preach. Jesus told me to do what I was supposed to do. Do your due diligence, and why don't you check and see if the preacher here? I told him, Jesus, he always here. Yeah. So when I went to open up his number, Mary, I started to call you. Said, Mary, you need to preach. I think Jesus gave you a sermon. Mary, like, no, he didn't. So Sarah, as soon as I said that the preacher wasn't here, Sarah said, click, I'm out. She was gone. Just like that. And Jonathan, like, oh, no, he don't. No, he better not. Amen. Now, Terrence jumped right on it. But Jesus said, don't dump it on nobody. So we got to fussing. He said, why don't you play a song? So I played a song. We got to fussing some more. Amen. I'm like, Lord, why didn't you tell me? You can at least warn me last night and say I'm going to preach today. Me and Sheila out having balls just doing this and that and going about everything. And then nothing's up. I'm normal. Ain't got no butterflies here. Nothing. I get up in the morning. I ain't got nothing to worry about. Why? I ain't got to preach. I go to open up his number, it ain't there. I'm praying he got a new number and he just didn't tell me. But it wasn't like that, so we fussed for 2 minutes through that song. And I could say, Lord, I need a sermon. And can I preach what I'm gonna preach tomorrow? He said, no, you gotta get a new one. I'm like, well, then he gave me one. And then I preached too long. It was Sharon's fault, because she didn't stop me. She just said, amen. Okay, she was no way for it to stop me, but amen. She could have been like, and I would have been like, oh, wow, I need to stop. Amen, but that didn't happen, so I kept going. Amen, but Jesus did it. And guess what he had me to preach? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Amen. And remember how many sermons you done preached in the past. He did it, you didn't. And that's what I had to preach. Against myself, against my fears, against my trip. And I'm like, you could have told me that before I tripped. Why you let me trip like that? Then tell me this. Amen. But what I had to preach was, amen, peace. Peace is ours. Peace. Amen. And I wanted to, amen, praise God. But because the Lord had filled me up with so much, because we spend so much time together, and I love talking to him. I love him talking to me. And see, the more Bible you read, the more Bible you internalize, the more he'll talk to you. Because he won't talk to you if you don't know nothing. No, he'll guide you through life like you do a baby. You can't communicate with a baby, but you can guide him, right? He'll guide you like that. He'll treat you just like a baby. But when you stand up and start being a man and come to him according to his word, amen, then he'll talk with you. Amen. But you have to at least, for instance, I asked him about one word, therefore. Y'all heard me say this right before. Therefore, I'm going to say it again. Amen. It's in Romans chapter 12, and it begins by saying, therefore, in view of all God's mercies, and I stopped and said, what is that word, therefore, therefore? Because therefore means something happened before this word. And the Lord says, go back to Genesis, come back to this chapter in Romans 12, and then we'll talk.
What?
Marcus, do I want to know that bad? Right. I ain't about to go back to Genesis. Genesis means beginning. So what I asked him this, I said, Lord, if I can tell you what happened from there to here, do I have to read it all? He said, no. So I told him what happened from there to there. All it is all of the Old Testament and the stuff Jesus did when he got here, and then his ascension and the birth of the church, and now Paul's writing letters. You back at Romans chapter 12, right? And he said, that's what the word is there for. Because I didn't wipe y'all out from Genesis to Romans 12. Therefore, in view of all God's mercies, that word all made me go back. What do you mean, all your mercies? And when you read the Bible from Genesis, before you even get past the first five books, you'd be like, we through. We are through. We are not going to make it. We are not going to make it. Because the first group that came out of Egypt, they all died in the wilderness. And then the second group, they was just as bad as the first group. And then when it got to the judges, they were even worse. Then they had this nerve. We want a king like all the nations around us. And the Lord is like, but they don't have me. We still want a king. And so God gave him Saul, then David, then Solomon, then crazy Rehoboam, who split the kingdom in two. And they just kept going crazy until Sennacherib came and took the 10 tribes into captivity in 722 B.C., right? And then in 586, old Nebuchadnezzar shows up, take the last two tribes, Israel, Judah, and Benjamin, into captivity, and they stay there for 70 years. God lets them out. Haggai, Zephaniah, and Malachi are the last post-exilic prophets. They prophesied to them after they came out, and guess what they prophesied, Lisa? They started doing the same thing they did before they went to jail. They reoffended. Amen. Amen. Only this time God didn't send them back to jail. He switched everything up during the intertestamental period. He changed the stage from the Babylonians, Medo-Persians. The Greeks brought in the Greek Septuagint because people were going to be speaking Greek. So Jesus wanted the Old Testament to be in Greek so people could read it. And after that came Pompey. They made a deal with Pompey, but Pompey don't pay his bill. So he just ganked everybody, and Rome became the leader. Amen. That's how they was rolling it. We took Pompey. Yeah. He was something else. Like, oh, how much you going to pay me to keep your boy Antiochus off of you? And then he asked the Egyptians, how much you going to pay me? Who wants this strip of land? Whoever paid the most. So he got money from the Egyptians. Amen. The Ptolemies, right? and he got money from the Seleucids under Antiochus. And guess what he did? And then the Jews paid him too. And he's like, we're taking all y'all money and y'all ain't getting nothing, you're Roman now. And that's the way that went. Amen? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Right.
We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places that Jesus created. Read Colossians chapter 1. If they got authority, they got it from him. If they can do anything to you, they got permission from him. But if they get permission from him to do a thing to you, guess what, church? You can win. Jesus don't never take bets he gonna lose. And if Jesus is betting on you like Job, you can win. The devil can't defeat you because Jesus already knows that you have what you need to defeat him.
Amen.
You just have to know it. You just have to walk in it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then we come to chapter 11. You know, Jacob, I read the book of Job and I got silent. Why? Because I did not want what happened to Job to ever happen to me. Amen.
Amen.
He got Jobed. That's the only way you can explain it. I mean, you lose all 10 of your kids in one day. You lose all your money in one day. You lose your status in the community in one day. Amen. Everything's gone in one day. The only people coming in your house is people with bad news in the same day. Oh, everybody else dead. Only I was left alive to bring you this bad news. Each one of them who came in there said that. And I thought that was the worst thing in the world that could happen to somebody. How could God say, I love you, and let you get joked? How can, amen, that's, you know, how you got joked. But you love me? I said, Lord, how could you love me and let me go to Detroit House of Correction because you wouldn't pay your child support? Praise the Lord. Amen. But he never left me and neither did he forsake me. He was right there with me and he blessed me in there like he blessed Joseph. Me and another preacher who couldn't pay his child support, amen. We was the only people in there. We had no cred. We in jail ain't got no. People kept asking me recently, like, Reverend, what you doing here? I told them the truth. I didn't pay my child support. And they kept sending me show cause letters, but I wouldn't show cause. Then one day I went down there, got it in my head that I can go down there with a head full of lies, sweet G's, just sling some of the garbage on them, right? And they're going to let me walk out of there. Well, they did let me walk out like this. Yeah, that's because they had you chained around your waist with handcuffs and you were shackled down here by your feet and you and 90 other people doing like this. Amen. Them handcuffs hurt. And like, no, no one. I never wanted to be joked. I was scared to death of jail. Seemed like I couldn't stop going. Amen. Doing stupid stuff, tickets, ended up in jail. Amen. Now, last week the Lord gave me this title. I can do all things through Christ. And y'all know where that is, right? Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all this. I like the way the NIV says it. I can do all of this through Jesus Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And so I was like, what is all this? Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself in. I have learned to be content if I got everything I need. I've also learned to be content if I don't have anything I need. And that's our goal, right?
Yes.
To have that kind of faith in God. That no matter what happens to us, he got us.
Okay.
Amen?
Amen.
But before Paul could write that, this is the book of Philippians, right? He's in jail. And he's writing to the Philippians, about when he was there. When Paul was there, what happened to him? He got arrested and thrown in jail, thrown in the dungeon, left for dead with his boy Silas. Because they were preaching the word. And they cast the devil out of Madam Cleo, and the slave, the owners of Madam Cleo got mad because she couldn't tell fortunes no more. I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Please stop it with the astrology. You embarrass Jesus. You embarrass him big time. Jesus did not make you a Virgo, whatever your sign, he didn't do that. The world did that. The devil did that. See, this girl was demon-possessed. And she was telling people their future. And they were all sucked in, willing enough to pay for it. But she was an indentured servant whose father probably owed some money to somebody, and he didn't have it, so that, there you go. And now she's possessed with a devil, and she can tell the future. Amen? So every day this woman is driving them crazy. They're going to the river to pray with Lydia, who they had met, and they joined the church, and now they set up a church at her house, and now they're having prayer meetings by the river, and every day she's out there. These are the men of God. You know how they mock us today when we find out we're Christian? These are the men of God who come to show you the way to be saved. And she's doing that every day. One day Paul get enough of that. He cast that demon out of her. She go back to the crib. Her owners ask her, what's up tomorrow? We got a client over here. She can't tell them nothing because she don't have that demon no more. And that demon can't tell them the future no more. And now the man goes to the magistrates and says, hey, these men, watch what he say, these men are advocating customs that are not even lawful for us to hear as Romans. Oh, they didn't say, he broke my fortune telling machine and I'm mad and I want you to do something about it. He didn't say that. So Paul and them gets thrown in jail without a trial. They're beaten first. Remember what Rebecca read you? From the Jews and from others, he had received the 39 lashes. Do you know they would literally cut your back open? And then put you in a dungeon with rats. People's leftover feces. Other people's urine. It's all in this cell. And your arms are chained to the walls. And your feet are fastened in the stocks. And this is how you sit until they come to get you. But there is no record of Paul being taken to the bathroom. There's no record of them being fed anything. There is no record of their wounds being attended to. So they're in this nasty place about to be infected through their open wounds. Rats are used to humans being down there. They feed on their feces, they feed on their urine, they feed on them. And that's where they've been left. But Paul sang praises, him and Silas, to God at midnight. Wow. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Sound different now, don't it? When you look at what Paul says, he was left out in the open sea. Y'all remember on his fourth missionary journey, people call it, when he was being taken to Rome? The ship they was on got tore up. They had to make it to land on boards. And then when he got to the land, he got bit by a snake. But he didn't die. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, I've learned, no matter what situation the Lord allows me to get into, I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. Even if we've caused our problem, like I caused mine. Amen. Once I repented, Jesus forgave me. Repenting means I've accepted that I should have been paying my child support. Repenting means when I get out of here, oh, I'm sure going to pay it. You better believe that. I ain't had to go back, I tell you that. Amen. Repentance means to turn. And once you do that, then the Lord goes to work. He can work on your behalf now. Why? Because we have unlimited forgiveness. But God's not stupid. God knows when you want forgiveness, which is going to be followed up by repentance. God knows if you're going to change or if you're going to keep doing the same old crazy thing the next day. Amen. The next same day. Amen. But when we repent, God forgives us and he works about to clean up our situation. Amen. I can do all this. I can float around in the open sea for a night and a day. Why? Because God keeps me. I mean, most of us would lose it. Now, I'm not saying Paul wasn't concerned about his situation. And God expects you to be concerned about your situation. Why? Because you got to do something about your situation. So you need a plan. You know, my father used to tell me, don't waste your energy on worrying, Gerald. Put all your energy into finding the solution. Because, you know, you try to roll up on your parents and put that face on. So they can fix your problem. My father didn't play that. You got the solution. You made the problem. You solved your problem. Amen? So he taught me to never put a whole lot of energy into worrying. And what is the serenity prayer? God, accept me those things I can't change and the wisdom to know the difference and what I can and can't change. I can do all this through Christ. Who strengthens me. Amen.
Amen.
We can do all this through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Don't let the devil ever convince you to say, I can't. When I was in the military, those words better not come out your mouth. I can't do, excuse me, I can't do 25 push-ups. That's why you don't eat anymore. I can't do 25 push-ups. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, yes, I could. Yes, I could. I can't do all these exercises. If you don't want to go to happy hour, yes, you can. Or happy hour is not where you go get drinks. Happy hour is where you take an M14 dummy rifle and hold it in your hands for an hour doing push-ups, doing jumping jacks where just your legs go up as you keep that. Or if you're real crazy like me, they make you just hold it out. Amen. Until your arms feel like you just want to die. I also used to get hit with this one. They would put me on the ground because I was kind of bad. They would put me on the ground and make me stay like this. And they called it elbows and toes. Amen. I got real strong. Amen. But I stopped messing up. I became second platoon leader and then went to boot camp apprentice training and became master at arms. I was the police. Can you imagine that? I had authority. Amen. Yeah, I was the police. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord wants us to have this. Why? Because we go through all things. Jesus ain't going to let you walk to heaven on a bed of roses. If they are, the thorns is in them. Amen? Yeah. The thorns are there. Right? He's going to lead you and guide you from earth to heaven. But we have got to stop falling out every time something happened to us. We have got to stop thinking, I'm a child of God. Why is this happening to me? If it's happening to you, it's because God wants to shame the devil. Amen?
Amen.
He don't want you to lose faith in him and think he's punishing you for a sin you committed. He punished Jesus for our sins. All things work together for the good of those who what? Love God and are called according to his purpose. So even if it's like what Joseph is going through for 13 years, guess what? Tomorrow, you're prime minister. Tomorrow. If God allows you to get Job, guess what? At the end of the story, as long as you don't give up on God and you get to the end, you get double for your trouble. He got back 10 more kids and his wealth doubled. And how do you think all them people who was trashing him out through all them chapters while he's laying on the ground? You know how people love to trash you out when you're down? You down because you did something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No. Sometimes people are on the ground like that. See, Job had a problem. 3:23 tells you what his problem was. See, God had blessed him in every which way. Amen. But Job said, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. I lost my money. I was afraid of that. I lost my status in the community. Nobody liked me no more. I lost all that. I was afraid of that. Amen. I'm sick. Can't get well. I was afraid of that. My wife turned on me. Amen. Told me to curse God and die, you'd be better off. Amen. I was afraid of that. Lost all 10 of my children in one day. Most of us can't lose one child in a year, right, let alone in a day. I was afraid of that. So even though God had blessed him, even though God was his God, God was his father, his provider, his everything, he was all in Jehovah's to him, right? He couldn't enjoy it. Why? Because those four things scared him to death. So guess what God did, eh? He let it happen. And when Job got to the end of the thing and found out that it was God who let it happen, I'm good.
Right.
I'm cool. I just needed to know what was going on. I'm sorry I even asked. I should have known it was you. Because you've been good to me all these years. And then all of a sudden this, I just didn't understand. But now that I've talked to you, I know. Amen. So before we get in our Job situation, we should remember what Paul said.
Yeah.
When it happens, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. Amen. And God let this thing happen to you. There's only one way out. Your faith.
Amen.
Everybody who got healed by Jesus, your faith.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's your faith. That lady crawled up to Jesus. Touching, got healed. She was kind of scared, Deborah, because Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciples were like, "Seriously? All these people, you talking about who touched you?" But that lady persisted and let him know it was me. Because I said in myself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, guess what? I'll be made whole. She crawled through a crowd. Hands probably got stepped on. She had an issue of blood, so people who knew her was probably like, "Oh, hey, don't get next to me," because they would have to stay out of the temple for 7 days. They couldn't even go to the synagogue.
Right, right.
So they didn't want to be around her. I remember way back at the hall, Minister Natrice Jackson preached, a sister got issues. Amen. And she had issues. Jesus just wanted to know who had the kind of faith that drew that healing out from him without even asking for it. She didn't say, "Lord, heal me because you're able." She knew he could heal her. And even though she had been through all those years and had spent all her money on doctors and only got worse, she started singing that song, "I never lost my faith.
Come on.
I never lost my joy."
Yes.
Amen. And she crawled through the crowd on her hands and knees to Jesus. Got that healing. And then Jesus said, "Writer, put it in the Bible. I want my people to know all they have to do is reach out by faith. Because God already has the solution. He already had the answer. But you can't get it without faith. Except you abide in me." And what that means is, unless you live according to my word and believe what I said, you can't have it. Amen?
Yes.
You can get it by faith, though.
Amen.
Jesus' disciples, and I'm going to close with this. This is my real close.
Yes.
This is the real one. This first one, this is the real one, though. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus told his disciples why they couldn't get that demon to come out. He said, "This one comes out by faith."
Mm.
Y'all was fronting.
Mm.
Y'all was perpetrating.
Wow.
Y'all was acting like y'all was somebody. Y'all was acting like you didn't even need me to do this. That's why Jesus told them, "Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven."
Amen.
Amen. Don't be rejoicing over the power I gave you. Okay? Rejoice that you have that power because of me. So next time a problem pops up, you know what you should do? You know what I tell my problems, Marcus? I warn them. I'm like, dude, you probably going to want to get out of here. Because as soon as you worry me enough, I'm going to talk to Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you know what's happening when Jesus show up. He ain't okay, coming down when I, amen? Demons are scared to death of him. Amen?
Amen.
Demons are scared to death of him. And problems don't like Jesus either. Because he's a problem solver.
Amen.
And problems, they like to be a problem. They don't want to be solved. I didn't come here to be solved. I came here to worry you to death. Watch out. Don't make me call my mama and daddy. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you that we can do anything through you.
Yes.
The devil and his demons are always scheming. But you told us that we are not unaware of their schemes, their devices. But you did tell us to put on the whole armor. So that when it's our time to stand, we can stand. And we should do all to stand. So we should keep our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We should keep the belt of righteousness wrapped around us real tight. And we should always have on that breastplate. But Father, when we need to, help us to remember to use the shield to quench the fiery darts of the devil. Help us to remember to cover our head with the helmet of salvation. And help us, Father, if we have to take the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and slay some things. Father, we thank you that you armored us up for a forward-facing battle.
Yes.
You did not give us anything to cover our rear guard, but you gave us forward-facing. You said, Jesus, a long time ago, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. So help us, Lord, to be the ones who are causing the kingdom of heaven to forcefully advance by spreading your word and remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray and give you all the thanks, honor, and glory. And the whole church said, amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Good.
Amen.
Thank you, Rep.
Rep. I'm telling you, our family too.
Okay.
Rip. Our family too.
Going to go with our benediction today. If everyone can stand up. You enjoyed the message today from Pastor O?
Yes.
I can do all things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Read it. It's in the Bible.
We're going to see it three times.
May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. May your struggles keep you near the cross. And may your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way should, and may your bad day
that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good.
Lord, thank you for keeping us, Lord, as you have. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless this week ahead, Lord, and thank you again for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay.